welcome to University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamrick, KUNM News Director. A recent report by the Legislative Finance Committee found that children in New Mexico are at a higher risk for being involved in the criminal justice system because they face higher rates of adverse childhood experiences than most of the country. These include gang involvement, physical and sexual abuse, household substance use, and incarceration of household members. The report found young people are often diverted away from the juvenile justice system, but there are not enough services, and that means many of them return to the system. Two University of New Mexico professors are working to address this with a pilot program. It launched this year at the First Judicial District Attorney's Office in Santa Fe. Lisa Broidy is a distinguished professor and chairs the Department of Sociology and Criminology. Jennifer Perillo is an associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences. The pilot is called PIVOT. Perillo says it stands for Promoting Innovative and Vital Opportunities for Transformation.
That was coined by Roger Montoya, who's the creative director for Moving Arts Española and one of our program partners. So the PIVOT program, the original pilot started at the beginning of this year. It's based at Moving Arts Española, and they are taking referrals directly from the First Judicial District Attorney's Office and getting those youth involved in the activities and opportunities that Moving Arts offers. So Moving Arts is a nonprofit that really believes in the idea that art is medicine and offers a lot of opportunities for youth to get involved in all sorts of different types of creativity, as well as food art.
Gardening, yeah. Dance, gymnastics.
Cool. Yeah, all sorts of visual arts, 3D printing, you know, media performing. Yeah, so they have a lot of different options that are there. And so part of this is helping the get these youth involved in something to help them rediscover their own strengths and build upon those strengths. Another big part of the PIVOT program has been partnering with the County of Santa Fe, who already had a diversion program running, formerly known as the Teen Court, now known as Uplift Youth. And that particular program, and specifically Chanel Delgado, who's the program director for that program, have been just a huge, huge resource for helping Moving Arts build out their capacity to do this work and to really think through how can one run a diversion program successfully. And so they've also been really great in terms of helping Moving Arts build out the program beyond just what they typically offer, but adding in additional elements that are specifically for the PIVOT participants.
What was the need that this was trying to address?
One of the big things that impacted how this program has developed over time was noticing that there were differences in terms of resources in the First Judicial District by county. Santa Fe had Uplift Youth, had this really well-functioning program. Rio Arriba County did not have something like that. And so it was decided to focus upon Rio Arriba County to try to build up and offer opportunities there, because which county you live in a judicial district should not be impacting whether you have these kinds of options and whether you have the opportunity for diversion and treatment as opposed to getting put into the juvenile justice system. So I think that was a big piece there in terms of recognizing a need, was that Rio Arriba didn't have the same types of resources. And the First Judicial District was also noticing that they were getting a lot of cases that they did not feel really should be prosecuted, that these were youth that needed a second chance, that needed some assistance, that needed some help, but not necessarily punishment within the legal system. And so they were the ones that actually wanted this to happen in the first place. And so they recognized the need and came to Lisa and other collaborators here at UNM to really kick off that original iteration of the project 5 years ago.
And Lisa, talk more about, you said PIVOT's the latest iteration, but this has been ongoing for a while.
So we have gotten different pockets of support. The initial William T. Grant Foundation funds were funds that our colleague Noah Painter Davis helped the First Judicial District secure. And those funds were explicitly designed to help the district think about disproportionate minority confinement. part of the initial iteration under those funds was to figure out, you know, what does disproportionate minority confinement look like in the first judicial district, and how do we then address that issue? And, you know, the broader concern is that if minority youth are more likely to be processed through the system than non-minority youth, that already sets them up on a trajectory that then is kind of pushing them deeper into the system when their counterparts in better resourced communities, white communities, et cetera, kind of don't get that same initial treatment. And so the program initially was looking at what does that look like in the first judicial district and how do we think about changing what that looks like in the first judicial district. You know, part of the roadblocks that we ran into were A, COVID, but B, the thing about, and I've been working in this space for a long time where we're working with data that is designed for the everyday operation of systems. It is not necessarily designed for kind of bigger picture research. And so using the data at the first judicial district to try to get a big picture kind of aggregate sense of what disproportionate minority treatment might look like turned out to be really complicated and the data weren't well suited to it. And so working with them to develop some data collection strategies and data development approaches so that in the future they would be able to look at that and assess the program moving forward was one of the early projects that we helped them with. And this work really is community engaged in the sense that, you know, our role is to help community partners do the work that they want to do. So it's not really driven by what we want to do. It's driven by community needs and how we can help the community meet their self-described needs. And it has been that way from the beginning. The initial needs were needs defined by the first judicial district's district attorney's office. And now we've kind of pivoted, for lack of a better term, to really helping moving arts do the job of, you know, once youth are diverted out of the first judicial district's attorney's office, how does moving arts help them and what resources can they draw on, both their in-house resources and broader community resources to help these kids, and how can we help them evaluate what they're doing and figure out if it's working and help them kind of shift in ways that can serve the program and serve the youth.
In terms of really being responsive to the community, another big part of this project was talking to stakeholders in the community, doing interviews with them, running town halls, trying to get a sense of what the community wanted done with youth and what resources they felt were lacking in their communities and what they wanted to be happening in their communities. And so the design of the program was also very much driven by those conversations as well. So not only the first judicial district attorney's office and what they wanted, but what the community themselves were asking for as well.
The first judicial district is covering Santa Fe County. It's covering Rio Arriba County.
And it covers Los Alamos County as well.
Okay. So Rio Arriba is definitely the county in that triad that has fewer resources, mm-hmm. I would venture to guess. So the idea is that these are justice-involved youth, they've come into the criminal justice system. The DA is making a determination whether to prosecute or whether they could benefit from diversion. And in the past, it's been harder for kids from Rio Arriba to find something that they could go into.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So just to sort of take a step back, when we're talking about the juvenile justice system, the way that the system is set up in New Mexico, when a youth has been accused of a delinquent act, they are referred to Children, Youth, and Family Services, CYFD. And CYFD makes a determination of what they're going to do with a particular youth, except under a couple of circumstances. So the statute in New Mexico says that if a youth has been accused of more than three misdemeanors within 2 years, or they are accused of a felony, then CYFD has to send those cases to the DA, to the children's court attorney. The other cases, CYFD can make the determination of what should happen with those cases, including potentially sending it to the children's court attorney. But they could also do their own diversion, their own informal sanction. There's various different things that CYFD can do as well. So it's not to say that the youth in Rio Arriba had no recourse, but that the district attorney's office did not have the flexibility that they have in Santa Fe to make those decisions themselves. So CYFD certainly could still do stuff with some of those youth in Rio Riba County, but in terms of what the DA's office could do, they were a little bit more limited.
Because of the lack of diversion programs
right.
in Rio Riba. Okay. Mm-hmm. And is Moving Arts the primary one?
Yes. Now?
Okay. How many kids have been diverted?
We're at 9.
That sounds right.
And is that over what time period?
So this started in the spring. It's a 3-month program. And then at that point, they graduate. Some of them have stayed involved at Moving Arts and just become, you know, a regular student in their classes. The actual pivot program, right, at least right now, is 3 months long.
This is University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamrick, and I'm talking with UNM professors Jennifer Perillo and Lisa Broidy about Pivot, a pilot program that's helping divert young people away from the justice system to the organization Moving Arts Española. Now, as part of being a site for court diversion, do they get funding to help them do that?
Yes. Yeah, so this right now is being supported by the William T. Grant Foundation, as Lisa mentioned. So the First Judicial District Attorney's Office has been able to do a contract with Moving Arts to take those referrals and provide services to those youth. And this past year, we also got a legislative appropriation, a one-time appropriation from the New Mexico government to help support the program, and that the goal for the First Judicial District Attorney's Office is to use that to continue those contracts, at least for right now. Yeah, so then, because we have new grant funding that's come in, but is really focused on supporting research as opposed to paying for service, direct service provision. So that particular pot of money is not going to be funding the services, but the First Judicial District Attorney's Office is still supporting that through the original grant funds and then the appropriations.
And how are you in your capacity here as the research institution? What is your role going forward as this is taking place? You're looking at, you can bring to them data on what's working and what's not?
Yeah, we're helping build evaluation tools, both intake tools for when the youth first enter the program, like where are they, and then post-programming tools, you know, what changes has this program helped develop for those youth? We're really focused on kind of, as Jen said, building their strengths and looking at this from a kind of strength-based lens. And so, you know, the outcomes maybe aren't necessarily the ones that you would typically think of, like, did they get rearrested? I mean, that's ideally not what we want to see, but what we really want to see is that they develop kind of, you know, internal capacities, that they develop a stronger sense of self and a sense of self-worth and other kinds of strength-based markers that they can use as they move forward to keep themselves out of the system and to, you know, kind of live productive lives in the way that we hope that they would want to.
How did you all get involved in this kind of research, specifically around, you know, justice-involved juveniles?
I mean, I was brought into this program by Noah Painter Davis. He's no longer at UNM, but he's still a big part of the program. And I've worked in the justice space for a long time. Most of my work is around gender and justice. And so initially when he was helping build the program, he thought it would be helpful to have kind of a gendered lens to some of this. We haven't really done a lot of work around gender in the project. It might be something that comes up later, but I also, a lot of my work is around development, adolescent development and behavior and those kinds of things. And I really like doing work where I can see kind of concrete evidence and like outcomes that we're actually not just, you know, sitting in our offices and writing papers, but we're actually helping people in our communities. And I think that's an important role for us as, you know, especially at UNM, mm-hmm. to be helping the communities that we serve.
Yeah. And, you know, sort of somewhat similarly, Noah Painter Davis also brought me into the project. So my background's in legal psychology. My entire research career has been focused on the legal system. A big focus of that has been on bias within the legal system and how we can sort of help find ways to minimize or eliminate that bias, whether that's by the individuals that are working within the system, whether that's how there be bias that's being applied to the people who are entering the legal system. One piece that I've worked on is racial bias within the legal system. And so obviously that's been a big part part of this project is trying to address the issues of racial bias within the legal system for these youth. And so that was, I think, one of the original reasons why NOAA brought me in. And I've also got experience doing program evaluation for diversion programs. And so I bring that to the project as well.
What does the landscape look like in New Mexico right now for youth diversion programs?
I mean, I would say it varies really widely across the state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's also one of those things where the juvenile system is in some ways very, very standardized within New Mexico, but also in other ways very, very unstandardized. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely certain types of programs that exist that are great within various pockets of New Mexico, but certainly there's other parts of New Mexico that don't have the kind of coverage and resources and support that one would probably want to see. One thing just sort of not connected to this project, but just sort of on a broader lens, the Behavioral Health Reform and Investment Act that just passed this summer, you know, one of the big focuses of that particular one is helping communities sort of identify what they need. And they're doing that by looking at both the adult and youth system. So it'll be really interesting to sort of see what comes out of that work in these communities.
I mean, I bring it up, Lisa, because there's been a lot of talk in the last few years about juvenile crime and what should be done. And I would hope policymakers are looking at things that might be working.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we know from a lot of literature that, you know, keeping kids out of the system in the first place, especially for more minor offenses, and providing whatever services they might need. And a lot of kids, especially for minor offenses, end up in contact with the system, not because they're bad kids, but because they have high need. And so if that is kind of a point of intervention, and if we can really act on that early point of intervention, the outcomes are much better. And they're not just much better for youth, they're much better for our communities, right? And I think, you know, by the time we're talking about the kids that people are really worried about, you know, one of the things that we know is that they did not get services earlier on when those services could have been really beneficial for them and their families and their communities.
Like that wasn't probably their first brush with the law.
It is very unlikely.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Well, thank you both. This has been really interesting. Is there anything else I didn't touch on you wanted to add?
I mean, the other thing I'll add about our most recent William T. Grant funding is that it comes from something called an institutional challenge grant. And so part of those funds, as Jen said, is to help the program and help do the research to evaluate and support the building of the program and the longevity of the program and all those things. But another part of it is to think about how we at UNM can better support, resource, and promote community-based work. And so there is a lot, and you've probably talked to a lot of investigators who are doing work that supports our communities and that has really good kind of outcomes for our local communities. But we're not really, we don't have good collaboration on campus among people who are doing this kind of work. We don't really have a good inventory of the work that's being done in support of our communities at UNM. And so it's hard for us to really message around like all the good work that UNM is doing in our communities. And so thinking about how do we build that, right? How do we build support and collaboration among the scholars who are doing that kind of work? How do we make sure that it's valued by the university? And how do we make sure that the university can message to our communities all the good work that we're doing and also all the resources we have to support communities that maybe they're not taking advantage of or don't know about? So that's another arm of the funds that we received, is to do some of that work for and with UNM. And I think that's another important piece of the puzzle.
I think I have probably talked to a fair amount of people over the years, either doing that or community engaged research. So, well, thank you both so much for coming and talking about this.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
That was Lisa Broidy, chair of the Department of Sociology and Criminology at UNM, and Jennifer Perillo, associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences. They're working on a pilot program called PIVOT. It stands for Promoting Innovative and Vital Opportunities for Transformation. I also spoke with Roger Montoya, creative director and co-founder of Moving Arts Española, and Julia Elgatian, youth program coordinator at Moving Arts, where young people are being referred under the PIVOT program.
We've had 9 referrals so far. We can take up to 10 from the court and up to 10 from community referrals. Community-based referrals would come from mental health clinics, public schools, churches, anywhere in the community where they're seeing youth who are high need and fit this bill. Most of them would be facing probation. A lot of our referrals have been school fights. We would also be willing to take folks who have issues with absenteeism, things like that, more high need than high risk. And the alternative would be probation and having a criminal record as a juvenile.
And Roger, tell me a bit about what the activities are at Moving Arts that these young people can engage in.
Over the 18 years of our development, Moving Arts has created an environment, really an ecosystem, if you will, where mentorship, creative-based learning, expression, belonging, resilience building are just part of what happens in the building. And I think that's why we were cited as a potential pilot launcher, if you will, by UNM, because we had such a track record. And so the young people can choose from a menu of creative options like music or drama or culinary arts or 3D printing or sculpture. And then we kind of create a cascade of care that includes the traditional therapeutic pieces as well as our own art is medicine, is what we call it. Expression is the key to healing. And when a young person is facing stigma, is fearful, is not ready for a myriad of reasons, a clinical approach on its own, in my opinion, is not the best option. It's kind of you come around the edges a little bit, because through the process of connecting to clay or cooking or whatever it is, there's a softening, and this is esoteric, of the spirit, so that the young person can then start to contemplate and build trust and begin to be willing to take the steps to make the therapeutic pieces really sing, if you will. And I think it's that mixture, the proportionality of traditional along with this more holistic human experiential model, restorative justice. I firmly believe that, you know, these are not serious crimes. These are altercations in school, the residue of trauma, not being able to function, finding good friends. These are issues that are pretty low level, but can lead to more serious crimes and a life of criminality. So I think by intervening upstream and starting early and taking a more humane approach to what these young people are actually experiencing, when you understand the home life, the lack of supports, the intergenerational trauma, then it becomes, we've only had success so far. So maybe we're lucky.
Has it been long enough, Julia, to gauge success with young people who've come in?
I think so, because we've had folks who have graduated and they've wanted to continue to be students at Moving Arts. They've wanted to continue to speak on behalf of the program. And for me, that's the complete validation that we need, that this is an effort that's really making a difference for these individuals.
On that note, I will say that, you know, just to say presto changeo, this young person is now healthy, is not really what we're saying. A journey of healing and redirection, it takes time, but it's that breaking through the trust piece, trusting in themselves, trusting in those around them, and really looking honestly about what's happened and taking ownership is part of the construct. And so what we've seen thus far since last January, it's only been a year, is young people completing the program as designed and having good outcomes in terms of parents' response, school response, that these young people are now contemplating their lives in a new and hopefully transformative manner. Now, will that stick? Who's to say? We're hopeful that this pilot will solidify and really give credence to our model that is really customized to the tone and texture and cultural implications of a place like Rio Riba.
Say more about that.
Yeah, you know, we're close to Santa Fe and there's many similarities, but this region has its own challenges, severe economic disparity that all people and all counties share, but it's really heightened here. The rurality of this area and the fact that people are isolated, the schools are particularly not as functional as we would like. The history of cyclical drug use and alcohol substance misuse is really profound. And so there tends to be a very difficult finding inroads to the individual and his or her family. And we're hopeful that arts, culture, expression can be that special medicine to cut through and build the trust that's required for this kind of transformational healing. So the after-school hours, we know that from 3 to 7:30, those are the idle and very dangerous hours for young people who are coming home to no parents in the house, or in many cases in Rio Riba, there was a study done where a large portion of the family members who are coming out of being incarcerated are living at home. And so the children are coming home to those individuals, which may not be the best structure for them. You know, working parents, single parents, grandparents raising children is a huge, hugely challenging aspect of living in Rio Riba County. The other unique thing about Moving Arts is that we're able to retain young people for 8, 12, 15 years at a time.
Really?
So imagine a child comes at 3 or 4 and they go all the way through high school or college, hopefully, and we're able to nourish them and help build their resilience for more than a decade. It's a profound impact that is measurable and really important.
I think those are all the questions I had. Julie, did you want to add anything?
I think that it's a very special program, and one of the things that I find most exciting is that it's bringing folks to Moving Arts who didn't already have that opportunity and weren't already there. And I believe that this reach could be incredibly profound because of the impact it's making on those folks who weren't already engaged with this kind of support.
And in closing, I'd say the best success has been when we've been able to destigmatize and allow these young people to feel that they can be trusted and that they're not carrying this enormous dark baggage, you know, of the weight of that. And that's when they start to think about, wow, you know, people care about me and maybe my life is important. And it's a simple construct in some ways, but it's also really deep, the implications for our work with Pivot, providing innovative and vital opportunities for transformation. Kind of a long title. And a lot of words, but
I'm assuming the young people being referred in from the court, they're in Rio Riba County.
They're within one of those three counties.
Oh, one of those three. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of Santa Fe County. We haven't had any directly from Los Alamos, but the idea is that it's a regional approach. Hmm. And so the lion's share are coming from Española region or the surrounding tribal communities. But it's open to referrals from the broader area.
Thank you both so much for talking with me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
That was Roger Montoya, creative director and co-founder of Moving Arts Española, and Julia Elgatian, youth program coordinator at Moving Arts. Thanks also to UNM professors Lisa Broidy and Jennifer Perillo for speaking with me about this program. You can find this episode of University Showcase and all our episodes at kunm.org. Thanks to Associate Professor David Bashwinner for our theme music. I'm Megan Kamrick. Thanks for listening to and supporting KUNM.